Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
Hello, I'm Taylor, the communication doctor, and welcome to Real Stories. I just want to say, I come from a family where people didn't always speak their truth. And I think it's so important to speak their truth. And every day I meet people who, because of society, are just walking with that facade because they feel that it is the way to be. And in Real Stories, I want people to know the real story behind the facade. And that is why I do what I do.
Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Telly the Communication Doctor. And today on my show, I have Josie Nakash. And Josie Nakash is the founder of the Good Vibe Agency. Hi, Josie.
Hi, Tanya. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely, lovely, lovely to have you. Lovely to speak to you. And I'm just going to give a bit of a shout out to Humans First, because I do know Josie, and I've met Josie on some of the Humans First calls as well. Just shout out to Humans First. I also want to say, Josie, you're calling me from Israel and you're not Israeli, is that right?
Right, I'm Canadian.
Canadian. So first of all, I want to know how you come to be in Israel.
Well, a huge cultural war broke out in Quebec between the French and the English speakers, and all the Jewish people moved to Toronto. And my father decided to take us to Israel because he was a bit crazy, and we thought he was a bit crazy. We thought we were coming to live in a tent. But it's actually the absolute best thing that ever happened in my life. Israel is a very special place. Oh, the minute I got off the plane, really, I was 12 years old. We actually sailed here on a 28-foot sailboat from Nova Scotia to Cork. And my father was British, so we stopped off in England. We flew to London, and then we flew from London to Israel. So we had an unusual journey to Israel. And the minute I got off the plane, I was 12 years old, I actually wanted to kneel down on the ground and kiss. I wanted to kiss the ground. I could feel something so special in the air here. Wow. And it would be many years later till I figured out what that was.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a really interesting story there. So whereabouts was your father from in England?
He was from London. His father was a very, very famous photographer. We just found out that he was like really famous. They're doing these museum exhibitions about him in Germany and stuff. Oh, wow. So he was sort of part of the aristocratic London scene. That's my father's story. It's a whole long story.
I could imagine. But getting back to the Good Vibe Agency, I love that name. I just love it. How did that become born? How did that get born?
Well, it wasn't really for business reasons. I put that brand together. I'm a branding expert, and I put that brand together because I want to convey a lot of important messages from Israel to the rest of the world, and I needed a way to do it in like sort of a standard way that people would be able to hear and not think it's something religious and not think it's something, you know, like this or like that. I wanted to create something that people would be able to absorb from Israel. So I created the Good Vibe Agency.
It's sort of a front
for everything I'm trying to convey to the world, because everything that I'm trying to convey to the world is based on the wisdom of Kabbalah. I've been deep in the wisdom of Kabbalah for the last 20 years. So we get a lot of amazing insights there about life, about the meaning of everything, the system that we exist in. And I want to get it out my job. You know, I'm in a very unusual spot because on the one hand, it's all about internal things that we go through. And on the other hand, I'm a PR expert. And to me, it's very important to share all these things with the rest of the world. So I'm always concerned with getting all this out to the world. Israel has a very special role in the world. And I always feel like it's my mission in life to get this to the world. And especially at a time like this when the world needs it.
You know, that's really interesting. But when did you come to that point? You know, you said, you know, you do follow the Kabbalah. when did you go through your kind of awakening, so to speak, with regards to that?
What the was your awakening, kind of transition? The awakening is always very unpleasant. When I was finishing my army service, my oldest sister died, giving birth to her third child. Then it starts to rain, it pours, you know, and then my sister closest to me, this is 30 something years ago, so I can speak about it like this. Yeah. Then my sister closest to me, who were 18 months apart, a year after that, she committed suicide. So I had two sisters like gone, wiped off the slate. I was like, what is going on here? Something is going on. I always say that in these interviews, that was the point where I was like, but it would still take me a long time to figure out what was going on. You know, you put it off, you try to sweep it under the carpet. Everything's fine. I'm going to continue. I'm going to smile. I'm going to get out of bed. Everything's going to be fine. And I'm very optimistic person. So I was like, I'm either going to go under the covers and never come out, or I'm going to get out of bed and live my life because I'm actually still alive.
Wow. Because she sounds like you've been through a lot, really, you know, and just in two sentences, you meant to tell me that. It's because grief is huge. It's a lot to deal with, isn't it? And I do believe that it's something that takes a lot of time. And I don't even like that word. I just said to deal with, because it's something that you don't necessarily deal with.
It's something that no young person should have to deal with.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, you know, my older sister, she was in intensive care, and somebody's like, she's probably going to die. And I'm like, in the army, before they had to pick me up and take me to the hospital, my commander. And it's like, nobody dies in my family. What are you, crazy? You're 18. You don't think of death. Death isn't a thing yet. It's not even in your perspective. And all of a sudden, everything in my life was about death. Wow. I went for an interview a couple of years after that, and you know how they check your handwriting? The woman looked at me and she's like, everything on this paper is death.
gosh, that must have been really, really hard. So just kind of looking back, you know, obviously you've been through a lot, and that was kind of your major awakening when things changed for you and led you to the kind of Kabbalah. What else kind of influenced you? What were some positives that influenced you along that journey?
Well, Israel is a very special place. Israel is like sort of one big family, you know, a very diverse big family. Going through the army is a very powerful experience. It's like a big melting pot of the whole country. You're all very young. You're all, you know, nowadays everything is so divided and everything, but it didn't used to be like that. When I got to Israel, it wasn't Americanized yet. It was, okay. You know, there wasn't all these things like now there's malls and everything. In those days, you used to go in the evening, used to hang out in the fountain in the center of town. Really, as quaint as it sounds, that's what we used to do. You wanted to connect with people. There wasn't internet. I'm talking about 1978.
Yeah.
I was in grade 7 or 8, you know, and you used to put on your sandals and you used to just go hang out in the center of town. And the Israelis were fascinated by us. Because, you know, we were like the American dream had landed, you know. And, but I loved them because they were such authentic and complete people compared to, you know, superficialness that we have in North America. So I loved the depth. I felt they all had, they were such, you know, real humans. They were like tanned and, you know, healthy and, I just loved everything about Israel. I just fell in love with the whole package. I just, the country, the feeling, the energy in this country. It's just the most special place in the world.
It sounds like you absolutely love Israel. Yes. And now obviously during the lockdown, what's it like just for my listeners, you know, because obviously you're calling me all the way from Israel. You're there now during COVID-19. What's your experience now during the coronavirus?
I'm going through it okay. We live in a house, you know, with a garden. We live in a nice neighborhood, a quiet neighborhood. So I'm going through it okay. But people in the cities are going through a different experience. You know, I have a friend, he owns restaurants. They're all, you know, in Tel Aviv protesting and stuff. It's like usually a crisis in Israel really unites us. Like when there's a war, all of a sudden everybody's very united. There's this amazing feeling of cohesion. But this crisis is different. It's showing us how different we all are. It's highlighting our differences. that we all have, like we all are, you know, we have different interests, we have different needs. So there's people have, you know, we've reached the breaking point. Up until now, everyone was behaving, and now everyone's like really losing it a bit. And it's unfortunate because we don't really know what we're dealing yet with this virus. We don't really fully understand it. We don't really fully understand how it's conveyed from person to person. And but because of this pressure that's built up, we're going back to normal, and nature again is going to bring us back to isolation pretty soon.
You know what, that's really interesting, because as I think about it, just being here in London, like I have noticed just this week that there's a lot more people out than there was, because like you say, some people, okay, you give them a rule, they abide by a rule to a certain time, but as human beings, it is so hard to maintain being in lockdown, you know, especially when the sun's shining. I suppose the sun's shining all the time in Israel. But it's a different thing. But you know what I've realised over time? I've realised that I've become closer to my family. I mean, we're close anyway, but I feel that we're talking more.
Because of this crisis.
Because
right now we have a huge window of opportunity that we don't normally have.
Yes, exactly. And that whole kind of communication, because you're all, you know, we're together all the time. And, you know, you'll go through that point where you'll get a bit of breaking point, and then you'll kind of come in together. But what's it been like for you in terms of just that communication amongst the people closest to you? How have you found that?
We are, you know, like the three musketeers here in our house.
We're
used to being just three of us. You know, I grew up in a big family, but it's the three of us. And my husband's an amazing cook. So really, the conditions aren't terrible. Just the only bad thing is that my daughter wants to see her friends, you know.
Oh, of course.
But I can't complain. Like, we have pretty good conditions. But I imagine the people that live in the huge apartment buildings and they have tiny kids. You know, my daughter's almost 16. Mm. I can't imagine being locked up every day when she was young. I used to take her out. I used to take her here, there, you know, let her get her exercise and run around and parks and the beach. So I cannot imagine being cooped up with little kids in an apartment.
And
along with the uncertainty of if they have a job, if they have, you know, money coming in, it's a lot to deal with.
It is. There is a lot there. I mean, my kids are a lot younger as well, and it is tough. But we make sure we get out every day, like you say. We go to the park every single day. We're able to still do that, and I think that really does help. Really, just to have that space to run around and do things.
But what I wanted to say is that we are a huge, the Kabbalah, we are a huge global worldwide group called Bnei Baruch. And our teacher is Michael Lightman. And we've keep to our regular schedule. We have, you know, lessons throughout the day. We have meals together. We have social activities together in the evening with friends from all around the world speaking. Talking about our connection and how to strengthen our connection. So we've actually been an online group for many, many years. So we've been on Zoom and all these things for years together. So we're experiencing this crisis in a very, very different way to the rest of the world.
Gosh, I could explain, especially when you see the spiritual side. So what is your take on it kind of spiritually?
Spiritually, nature is redirecting us to a better path because we've been harming nature. You know, we not only our toxic thoughts of, you know, competition and trampling other human beings to get ahead, and we have to be the best in my career and all this stuff, have to be at the top of the pyramid. You know, if you have $10 more than your neighbor, then you feel good. It doesn't matter if you're both living in huts. So we had this whole egoistic system that's, you know, it's not sustainable. And now nature is redirecting us to a better path where ultimately we'll all be much happier. It won't be with this whole rat race, and we can't harm our environment and expect it not to react. Like, now nature is like, had it. Now nature is bringing us back into line. And now we're all running back. We think we're going to open all our factories and start producing again 200 kinds of cheese. We're not. Nature's not going to let us. We don't need 200 kinds of cheese. Maybe we only need 100 kinds of cheese. Like, we're going to have to downsize everything, because all this excess production is harming the environment. It's harming nature. Mm-hmm. And so the problem isn't with like nature and the other, like the climate and stuff. The problem is us human beings, our connection. If we had a healthier, more balanced connection between ourselves, if we understood that we're part of an integral system and we don't need to compete, we can all work together to create a good environment, but we're all in competition with each other. So that's why we're creating the success that where we throw tons of food away, you know, we don't need to produce so much food. We just have this huge egoistic system where certain people need to put more and more and more zeros in their bank account to feel good about themselves. And all this is harming nature. And nature's like calling us on it now, getting us back in line.
You know what? That's such a powerful point. And earlier you said, with regards to Israel as well, you said, you know, it used to not be so Americanized. And I think that's happened to lots of places in the world. They've become Americanized. I don't mean that in a negative way. Just the way that you just spoke about energy, and the way that you just also mentioned, you know, competition.
Do people in Africa need American values, like to have a big house and to have three cars in the driveway? We've brought our values, these, you know, we've idealized these sort of American Western values, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, it's spread to the whole world. It's spread through Hollywood. And, you know, America's like a superpower, the whole North America thing. And everyone looks up to that being the ideal way of life. And look at them right now in this situation. Look at them. They are not coping well at all. They are not. You can see all the cracks in the system are very, very big cracks.
Exactly. And it's just so interesting just having like a simple conversation with people, because I'm totally with you, Josie. You know, I do believe it is a time for nature to heal. And I mean, I'm loving hearing about the dolphins in Venice as well. You know, they're having the space, they're coming back, and there's been a lots of pollution. But, you know, I suppose if, I mean, I was born in this country, but my parents are West Indian, but I do love the whole idea of, you know, being in Africa and being in the West Indies and being in those different countries where there is a love for nature. And some of that has been taken. But if you kind of go back to your roots, and even like you going from that whole spiritualist perspective, and then I even think from a Buddhist perspective, there is a connection with nature, or you start to think about nature, and it's not about having a massive house. It's kind of being, gratitude comes in, isn't it? You know, being grateful for what you do have and just connecting. And that's why I put in a post that I surrender. I surrender to all of that kind of, you know, materialism and everything else. And now it is time to kind of bring that appreciation back. You know, I mean, of course, yeah, there are people through this dying, but I also think there's a higher vibration out there. I do feel that's what we're kind of going into, really. And this is kind of a pause time
to
kind of
There's definitely been a boost of consciousness, emotional intelligence. You see people pausing, reflecting, thinking, you know, things that you don't normally see people doing you know, we're connected. We're in a circle of very evolved human beings on LinkedIn and humans first and all that. But the masses that, you know, how are we going to lift them up to also have that greater awareness? And I think everybody sort of got an injection somehow of this greater awareness. Like this is the first time in humanity that something happened to all of humanity at once. There's never been another situation like this. So, you know, we're sort of all going through the exact same process, and it's a very, very interesting lesson for all of us. There's a ton of lessons. There's a ton of silver linings to this whole situation.
Yeah, no, totally. I love that. It's a ton of silver linings, and I can't wait for those silver linings to ring true and for people to see. I suppose, like you say, it's a process. It takes time.
Going to go back and forth before we get to where we're supposed to get.
Totally. What I really want to know is, like, growing up, who is a person that you would say inspired you, whether it's family or whether it's somebody that's well known? Who really inspired you and why?
Who inspired me when I was young?
Yeah. You inspired me young.
I started on a normal path, you know, a normal search with Tony Robbins and Awakening the Giant Within. And I went from there to every self-help book. I mean, I used to go into those bookstores in New York, because I was living in New York after the army. I used to go into those big bookstores and buy every single self-help book. that I could get my hands on. I used to do all the exercises in the books, and all those things used to work, and it was amazing, you know. I went through shelves of books, of self-help books. I had piles of self-help books. So I was inspired by all those, you know, Deepak Chopra, the, you know, all the gurus. And but at a certain point, I realized I feel empty inside. Nothing's really filling me. You know, I've done all the self-help books, so what's wrong? And that's when people start to look for something deeper, and then they start to discover the meaning of life, because in the wisdom of Kabbalah, you get a source of fulfillment that you can't get from anywhere else, and it comes from contributing to the collective, contributing to others, and not necessarily going out and cooking food for your neighbor, which is also nice, but it's just an internal transformation of your desires from a will to receive for yourself, because we were designed as self-centered beings. And going through this process that I've been on for 20 years, it transforms your desires to do for others, to want to lift others, to help others. And you know, I'm always focused on the lifting of the consciousness part of it, not so much, you know, we're not an organization that we run out and deliver food and stuff. We're interested in people getting the awareness of what's going on in the world, that we live in this system. The system is called nature. Hello, you know the laws of gravity, but do you know the laws of nature? There's very clear laws here. The laws, it's a law of love. It's all based on, it's a code of love. Israel has to share this like code of connection, this code of love with the rest of the world.
No,
and
totally.
It's all nature. It's all human nature, and it's all making us a lot more similar to nature, which is giving and integral, and you know, everything advances in a harmonious way, not competing. There's no need for all this competition. We were just built with this ego on purpose. To be completely opposite to the thing that created us, so that we would reach this point in humanity, which is the most special point ever throughout the generations. From this point onward, we have to make our way independently. This is the first time we're getting a chance to take an independent step. I know you think you've done a million things in your life and you succeeded and you decided to take this path or that path and you decided to marry that person. But really, all those things are decided for us. All those, that's all planned out way before you're just when you're conceived, that whole future of yours is sort of already decided. So now we've reached a very special point where we have to take independent steps. We have to make the effort from our side. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what we create from this point onward.
You know what? I love that. And I've not had anybody on the show that speaks from that deep perspective, actually, which is really lovely when you just said, you know, we decided everything we did before, because I believe that as well. You know, it's almost like I do feel like we're here on this earth and we're downloading what we've already decided we're going to do and what we're here. And every relationship that we have with people in our lives, some of them are past life relationships that we may have a contract and so forth that we may need to work through and all of those sorts of things. But that's, I know that's a belief system. I know some people listening may not have those beliefs. So I always am aware of that. And I say that's a belief system. It's my belief system, clearly yours as well. But it's just really interesting to think when you're thinking from that perspective, because it just changes everything, doesn't it? You know?
You know how everyone's talking now about things like purpose and empathy? Imagine if our life was goal orientated. What is, most people don't really have a goal. I'm not talking about the evolved people that we're surrounded with in abundance on LinkedIn. I'm talking about normal people. Normal people, they get up, they go to work, they maybe go out to eat in the evening, or they used to, they watch Netflix, they go to a movie, whatever, they come home, go to sleep, and the next day is the same. And a lot of people just live from day to day existing, you know, going to Walmart, shopping, acquiring more and more stuff. And it's, you know, it's totally this rat race that we're all caught up in. And, you know, what's the point of it all? My sister, after she committed suicide, we looked in her diary and it said in really big, and you know, she was super intelligent, super beautiful girl. And it said, "What's the point?" Really big letters in her diary.
Wow.
And after I discovered the wisdom of Kabbalah, I was like, I wish I could go back and, you know, bring her back, even though her soul is probably back by now. But really, what's the point? There has to be a point to all this. Mm. So when you think about purpose, this is like the ultimate purpose. What are we doing here? Humans, we have a role here. We have a job to do here, and we're not aware of it. And the minute we become aware of it and how we need to fix all these broken connections, it's about us all coming back together and realizing that we're one. That's really our purpose here. And this virus has come to show us all the broken points in our network and the connection.
I love
all the
that.
Places that aren't working.
I love that, and I think it's a really, really strong message as well, you know, because it's looking at the positives of what's going on. Everybody's looking at the negatives of the corona, and you're looking at the spiritual side, the connection with nature, the connection with people. As I said earlier, you kind of rebuilding your relationships. People have been forced to spend time with their family, but that's a really positive, because then you connect with your family even more so. Or if it's the other, I mean, I know there's some people that may be suffering at this time as well because of domestic abuse, but in some ways it may be an enlightenment for them in terms of getting out of that relationship or something more. But there is so much going on.
There's places where it's so natural, like Africa. These things are so natural, the connection, the mutual, you know, interdependence on each other. Those things are inbred, but also Africa is trying to, because we've invaded there and we're trying to do all kinds of things in Africa, we're ruining the natural balance, the natural culture of that place. And for what? Because for our personal greed to expand more and take more and more of the world, which we don't really need.
It's interesting because you think about stuff like that. I always think, I remember we learned about the Maasai tribe, and then when I was teaching, I remember teaching a group about the Maasai tribe, and there was a young black boy in the class, and he was very like, almost like, wow, thank you for telling me that story, miss, because then he saw the strength of his people, because all of the things that you tend to learn in school and some of the history always tends to be very negative when it comes to Africa, but there's lots of positives and that you can learn from that. And I think that's the Western.
Let's get into, I know we don't have much more time, but I mean, really, what are we putting in our kids?
Yeah.
They don't need to learn all this stuff that we're teaching them and pounding into them. They can learn all that stuff by themselves. They're way more advanced than us, the souls coming into the world now. They should be sitting down and learning how to get along. They should be learning about this integral interdependent system we have and the best way to advance here in a sustainable manner together. And that's what our kids do in our community. And, you know, look what's happening in schools. They're like actual prisons. People go in with weapons, there's guards, there's shootings. Yes. I mean, we go to so much trouble to bring these kids into the world, and we want them to be happy and everything. But look at these environments we're putting them into. I wouldn't put like my worst enemy in an environment like that.
And I suppose it is different, like you're saying, inner city to city, and where it depends on where you go to school. But yeah, there is some horrifying stories or horrifying situations and institutions, and
so nature
things
has
definitely
hit
has
pause.
To change.
Nature has hit pause, and nature has given parents a little time to get to know their kids a bit better and what's going on with them.
Totally.
And it's really all for the best.
Totally. Well, thank you so much. It was so lovely to have you on the show, and I love talking spirituality. I love talking about, you know, some of the problems in the world, but what I love talking about most today with you was the positives, the nature, you know, the positives of what's happened with COVID and the bringing families together and the beauty of it all. And I think if we see the world in that way, as family, as people, reconnect, as you said, like, you know, tribally in tribes in Africa, India, Asia, they have that community where people have their roles and their community is their family, or their extended family. And we're losing a sense of that in the Western world. But this pause that we've been put on, this pause button that we've been put on during lockdown, hopefully can help bring some of those ideas back or some of those positivities. And I think if we look at it in that way, that could really help us. So thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks very much, Josie. So I'm just going to say,
Tanya.
Oh, it was lovely to have you. So I'm just going to say from Tanya, the communication doctor, and Josie, adios.
Yeah. One of my takeaways from this show today is we have to make our own way independently. When you're conceived, your future is decided for you, and what you create comes from your inner self. And the other lovely takeaway was community is your family. Such rich conversation from Josiah. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.